So Rabosai, we're going to learn a little bit of Hilchos Me'ilah. And we're going to focus first on Reb Chaim. And that you'll see here, Perek Ches Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Hapolim Shem Osim Behegdesh. So we have a parasha called Achilas Polim. Oh, there's a copy over there. And that's in Parashas Ki Teitse. And the Torah says that if a poel is working in someone's field, then he's allowed to eat from the crop in certain cases, meaning if he's doing certain malachos. However, if he's working on behalf of Hegdesh, in what's called a stay Hegdesh, then he's not allowed to eat from Hegdesh. And that's what the Rambam says, Afal pisha pasku imahem mizonos, even though the Balabayas has entered into a commitment, an agreement where he'll feed the poel, but nevertheless, the poel is not allowed to eat from the grogros, which are dates of Hegdesh, liim achlu, and if they went ahead and they ate, malu lechayev mi'ilu. However, since Hegdesh entered into an agreement, let's say the Gizbar representing Hegdesh to feed the, you know, to pay lunch, you know, give a free lunch to the Polim, therefore the Hegdesh is going to have to give them damim, they'll have to give them cash, in order to make up for the mizonos, for the food that they would have eaten. They can't eat it to Polim because it's Hegdesh, but there's still a chiv mamon that's incumbent upon Hegdesh as the bailim to give them a free coupon, you know, to stand on the queue and get themselves some food. Now, all this is as far as Polim are concerned. Now the Rambam jumps into another issue, and that's called Lo Sachsom Shor B'Dishom, very similar. That the Torah says that in the same way that a human poel has rights to eat from the produce that he's working on, with the exception, of course, in the case of Hegdesh, so too in the case of a para, if you have a cow who's working for you, then the din is lo sachsom shor b'dishom. So you're not allowed to muzzle the cow, the animal, you have to let the animal eat. However, the Rambam says that if the animal is working on a stay Hegdesh, on Karshine Hegdesh, then the halacha is that the animal is allowed to be muzzled, and there's no iser in preventing the animal from eating from the Hegdesh, because when the Torah says, Lo sachsom shor b'disho, the word b'disho means disho haro'ilo, and it's that which he's allowed to eat, as opposed to Hegdesh, because if you eat from Hegdesh, that's called me'ilo. Reb Chaim, after quoting the Rambam, he tells you where the Rambam got this from. It's a Sugya Me'ilah Daf Yud Gimel. It's also a Rambam in Hilchos Schirus, where the Rambam says, Ein apolim ochlu mishal hegdesh, shenemar bekerem reacha. And this pasuk, bekerem reacha, tells you that when does the pole have rights to eat? That's only kerem reacha from your friend, velo shal hegdesh, to the exclusion of hegdesh.
This all applies to Truma too, doesn't it?
To truma? What do you mean by truma? We're talking about only things that are growing in the ground. And there's no such thing as truma.
No, if a poel is working on
you mean after what? The bialim with mafris truma? I don't know that this... as far as I know, the only parsha of poelim is only minha mechuba. You know, okay. When he's cutting things off that are mechuba. Okay. So now we have a sugya in Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Pei Zayin that derives from the pasuk Bekerem Reacha that the poel is not allowed to eat if he's working in a stay hegdesh. So Tosus asks the following question in Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Pei Zayin: Lomali Kra De Reacha Lemutei Hegdesh. Why do we need a special pasuk to exclude hegdesh in the case of poelim? Typically, Mikra did Disho. With regard to a para, we have the pasuk Disho, Lemute Hegdesh, Disho Haroilo. And the principle of the Gemara is in Bav Metzia, Makshinon Chosem Lenechsam. that the same status and dinim and rights that a poel has, a human poel, are identical with those of the para that you're working with. Now, if the para only has rights to eat from Reacha, but not from Disho, I should say, but not from Hegdesh, then by definition, the same thing will apply to a poel. The poel has the same dinim like the shor. And that's called Makshinon. We have a Hekesh between Chosem and Nechsam. Therefore, since we exclude in the case of a para, a stay Hegdesh, and that's excluded by virtue of the Pasuk Disho, then ipso facto, we derive the conclusion that in the case of a poel, he's not allowed to eat from Hegdesh. Why do we need, therefore, the Pasuk in the Gemara Bava Metzia Pezayin, Reacha Lim'utei Hegdesh? So just before we get into the methodology of Reb Chaim, just the what I call the signal, you know, the style of Reb Chaim, is that Reb Chaim very often is interested in trying to figure out why we need a special pasuk. And obviously, if we need a special pasuk, it means that although we do have to some extent a similarity, but they're two different dinim. In other words, what Reb Chaim is sort of, you know, we can almost anticipate that Reb Chaim is leading us towards the following conclusion, that although there is a hekesh between Chosem and Nitzam, but there are bounds and there are limits to that hekesh. And if we get down to the fundamental nature of the rights of the para to eat from the food that it's working on, and compare that to the rights of a human poel who's an employee, who's a worker in the field of his friend, they're fundamentally two different parshios, two different, in their conceptual framework, they are fundamentally different one from the other. Venira Lomar, and he says the following. Even though Chosem and Nechsam Shavi Bidunaihu, even though we have this hekesh between Chosem and Nechsam, Mikomakom Hare Chalukim Biikar Chiyuvim. This is such a typical style of Reb Chaim, that fundamentally they're different one from the other. He says, in the case of Poel, Ikar Chiyuve Mikri Dover Shebemomenu Schus. If I'm working in your field, then the Torah establishes that within the framework of our agreement, I have monetary rights to eat from the field. Again, with all the limitations that apply, I can't eat up your whole field, but I can eat on those things that I'm working for. And that's part of the monetary agreement between me and you. And the Reb Chaim says that's not going to be the case in Para. Para, for example, will apply even when we're not talking about Didi Mominos. For example, let's say a person is plowing the field or what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, anyway, we'll call it plowing the field with an animal, and it's his own animal. The law of Lo Saksim applies. So the parsha of Poel only applies when you're working in my field, because I have, as the owner of the field, monetary obligations to allow you to eat from whatever the Torah gave you rights to eat. That's a monetary relationship. That's a din mamon. Masha'enkin, in contrast, the din of Lo Saksim Shor B'disho, that's not a monetary arrangement. It applies even if I'm working with my own cow. I still have a prohibition, and I have to let the cow eat. He says, "V'yafa gavdi mishel shamayim hu ochel, haynu di'en lo hischayvus al balabayis." And the Gemara says that's only le'inyan li'ten li'ishto banav. What that means is that, let's say the balabayis, when he hires a human worker, he does not allow the worker to feed his children or his wife. The Torah allows him to do so. That's called min hashamayim ka'ochel. And the Torah allows him to even feed his family members. But that's not within the purview of his demand or his claim against the balabayis. His monetary rights vis-a-vis the balabayis are limited to what? To himself, right? What he wants to eat. The Torah already expanded that and said that we're going to give you rights to feed your wife and your children. So let's say, for example, the balabais will not let him take more food than he needs for himself, and he doesn't let him put into into some sort of pile designated for his wife and his children. That would not be a violation of any monetary law. For example, the Poel could not sue him in a court of law to get compensation for that which he denied him, but on the other hand, he has rights min ha-shamayim. He himself has monetary rights to eat, and he could demand those rights from the owner of the field.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Understand? We're talking about Torah law.
Torah,
whether it's written the Rebbeim or the Raisa. So how can you say there's no law from the Torah that says that I can restrict or not restrict his food, but yet there is a law in the Torah that says he's totally unrestricted?
No, what we're saying is that the restriction fits into two categories, right? Everything's been a shamayim, but the question is, can I demand compensation if you denied me my rights? So here we divide up into two levels. As far as his rights to eat himself, again, this is not so germane to our discussion. I'm only reading it because it's in the text, but as far as his rights to himself, I mean, to feed himself, that's something that's within the monetary
contract,
right? That's a contractual agreement.
Contractual according to the Torah, though.
Right, everything is according to Torah. Everything we're saying is according to Torah. We're not going into other religions or other, you know, other legal systems. Right.
Contractual as opposed to obligatory.
Right. Now, there are other laws that have to do with what he, the Pole, is allowed to take, but that's not necessarily in the framework of the contractual agreement. Meaning, what's contractual means if you deny me my contractual rights, I can sue you for damages. You know, I can force you to compensate me. So I can force you to compensate me if you're the owner of the field, if you deny me to eat what I need to eat, what I want to eat for myself. Reb Chaim is only mentioning this because he wants to show you that you shouldn't be confused. Sometimes Reb Chaim, when he presents his thesis, he deflects a possible cash on the side, and then he gets back to his main point.
Okay.
He's just deflecting. The Gemara says, "V'na shamayim kozachu lo." So it sounds like this is a ritual, not a monetary arrangement. It's not part of the contract. So Reb Chaim points out that's only as far as ishto banav is concerned. So don't even ask me any questions from that. The truth is, I could have skipped those lines, and you wouldn't have known the difference. I wouldn't have known the difference because it's not really relevant. What's relevant to us is that the poel, in terms of his own basic rights, those are anchored in the laws of Mammon, as you call contractual law, to such extent that if he denies me those rights, he has to compensate me. Verayel said, I have a proof of this, that this is not just some sort of ritual law, you know, some ethical law between me and God that I have to give you as my poel the rights to eat, but it's a monetary law. Again, a Torah monetary law from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Rambam Paskins like that says that if a Ben Noach, a non-Jew, is working in the field of a non-Jew, he has rights to eat from the field. Now, if this is only Min HaShamayim, if this is only some sort of a Ben Adam L'Makom kind of halacha, a mitzvah that I am commanded as the owner of the field to allow you to eat, if it's only a mitzvah that's incumbent upon me, then that mitzvah only applies to Yisrael. Ben Noach has how many mitzvahs? Seven. And the feeding of a poel is not one of the seven. So how could it be that the Gemara in Sanhedrin assumes that even a guy who's working in the field of a guy, right? So Christopher is working in the field of
Peter,
okay, right? And that Peter has to give Christopher the rights to eat while he's working. It can only be a contractual agreement. It can't be something ritual, you know, it can't be something what we call Iser Veheter, because as far as Iser Veheter is concerned, Ben Noach can't be included in this parish. This parish is given to Yisrael. We have seven other laws that apply to Ben Noach, but this is not one of them. The Ename Delo Avirak Mitzvah Abalabais, if it's just Iser Veheter or Mitzvah, Mehechetesi Yinog Zos Ben Noach. Ben Noach doesn't have a mitzvah to feed the poel. Elavadi David did mammon. It must be essentially a monetary arrangement. Ulahachi who noig b'ben Noach, shareihu bichlal didim v'gezel. Meaning, if I, as the Baal Bais, deny you the ability to eat from the food that you're working on, then I'm stealing from you. Meaning, you contractually have the rights to eat, and if I deny you those rights, I tie your hands. Then, in such a case, I'm a thief. And that law of a thief applies to Ben Noach. In other words, monetary law apply applies to a menorah just as it does to Israel, right? You know, the gezel is one of the seven mitzvahs. You know, dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs. You know, so all the laws that apply to dinim mamonos. You know, we learn 1/6 of Shas is called nizikin, and that 1/6 of Shas applies to a non-Jew as it does to a Jew. So when we're hovering, especially if you're a Daf Yomi guy, and you're hovering through the sugyas in Bava Kamma, you know, about Shomrim and about Mazikin and Zakin and the payment and all this, and you think to yourself, okay, how relevant is it? Especially if you're sitting in the five towns, right? But the answer is very relevant, because it applies to a non-Jew to the same extent that it applies to a Jew, because that comes under Dinim and Gezel. That's when you're talking about contractual law. But if you're talking about ritual law and mitzvahs, that the Torah obligated me in a moral sense to give you food, that only applies to Yisrael and not to Ben Noach. So how does the Gemara in Sanhedrin know that even a Ben Noach who's working in the field of Ben Noach has rights to eat from the field? The answer must be that this din of Kisoma, the Kerecha, etc., that is a monetary law. Achen, however, here's a brilliant move on the part of Reb Chaim. Bishar, when it comes to a cow that's eating or an ox that's eating, that's working in your field, and you have a violation of lo taxon, that's not a din mamon, that's not a contractual agreement, that's purely isa v'heter. And that's why it applies even bebehemto, even in his own animal. Bebehemas atzmo, lo shayach din mamon, you can't say that I'm contractually obligated to feed my own animal. I decide whether I want to feed my own animal. But the Torah decides that I have to let my animal eat because that's the mitzvah, not as a din mamon. Now, the litmus test is going to be a Ben Noach. Would a Ben Noach be enjoined from muzzling his cow that's working in the field? And the answer is, but Metzia Daf Tzadi, again, you see Reb Chaim knows everything, it's mind-boggling. He says, Nochri Adosh B'parasa Shal Yisrael, if a non-Jew is working with the field of a Jew, I'm sorry, with the cow of a Jew, Eino Over Mishum Bal Tachson. So the Nochri is allowed to muzzle the animal. Why? Mishum delavi ela isura. This is only an isur. It applies to the bailim. Vizelo shayach b'bnei Noach. B'nei Noach has seven isurim, but he doesn't have an eighth one of lo tasam shor b'disha. So I guess when you think about the lucky, you know, anything that's, it's lucky to be a guy, if you want to use that term, then one of the things that's lucky to be a guy is that you're allowed to muzzle your cow when you're plowing the field. But we live on a higher standard, you know, a higher moral standard in terms of our relationship to animals, you know, lo saksam shor b'disha. So again, just to summarize, Reb Chaim is setting up a fundamental distinction here between two parshios that seem at the face of it to be a mirror image, one and the other. That to the same extent that if I own the field, I'm not allowed to muzzle the cow, so too if I own the field, I'm not allowed to prevent you as my poel from eating from the field. Says Reb Chaim, these are two fundamentally different dinim. One, in the case of Poel, that's a din mamon, that's a monetary law. The other, which is losasam shor b'disho, that's isur, that has nothing to do with mamon. And again, he has two nafkaminas. Number one, losasam applies to your own animal. Number two, losasam has no application to a ben noach. In the case of Poel, obviously you're talking about a relationship between the Baal Bais and the Poel. The Poel is not the Baal Bais. If the Baal Bais is working in his field, he's allowed to deny himself food if he so chooses. But he can't deny his poel food. And number two, the parasha applies even to a Ben Noach. And why is that? Why do I have to feed the Ben Noach? Or more precisely, why does Christoph have to feed Peter? And the answer is because this is a monetary law. Monetary law, through the din of Gezel, applies to Goy, to a Ben Noach, just as it applies to a Jew. Vehine ayin sham betosus. Shehikshu lomalon kra derecha lemutehengsh tekle mishum me'ila. So Tosfos asks another question. I mean, we've seen already one kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos asks, why do we need a drasha of lerecha to exclude the poel from eating in the field of Hekdesh? We should derive that from disho roilo and lo saksom. Now we have another question. We have an isur me'ila, which means that I'm not allowed to steal from Hekdesh. Correct? Yeah. I can't steal from Hekdesh. Now the Gemara says a poel who's working in a stay Hekdesh, is he allowed to eat under the law of poel? So the Gemara says, you know what? He's not allowed to eat. Why? Because the Torah says Re'acha. The Torah says Ki Tovo L'Kerem Re'acha. It doesn't say L'Kerem, period. It says Re'acha L'Mu'utei Hegdesh. So Tosfos says, what do I need that for? It's Hegdesh is Me'ila. You're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of Hegdesh. What was the Hava meaning here, B'chlal, to say that a Pole is allowed to eat from Hegdesh? And now he suggests Tosfos' Teretz. He quotes Tosfos, and then he says, it's very difficult for me to accept this Tosfos. V'tirtzu salkadak t'shari k'mo iser gezel. In other words, Tosfos is saying that just like if I'm working in your field, I'm allowed to take your food, right, your produce, and it's not gezel, even though you own it, so too, I would think that if the Torah was matir isa gezel, the Torah would also be matir isa me'ila. So Reb Chaim says, kasha. If that's what you're thinking, he says, lefi zeh, isa the Gemara b'daf tzadi beis, here's another sugya, that says that a poel nazir, if your employee is what? Is a nazir, then eino ochel begefen, he's not allowed to eat the grapes off the vine. Haray, the loyal finon lemishrei isura, we never had a havmin to say that the poel, and the Gemara doesn't quote any pasuk for this, that the poel is allowed to violate the isur nazir, is enjoined from grapes. Why? Because he's working in the field. That just like the Torah was matir the isur gezel, the Torah is going to be matir the isur nazir. There was never such a havmin. The Gemara never even quotes a source for this halacha that a nazir is not allowed to eat from the gefen. Haray, the loyal finon mi isur gezel, we're not going to say that since the Torah was matir gezel, therefore the Torah is going to be matir isur nazir. He says, umayshna hegdesh titzarech mi uto. So you'll ask me the following question then. Why does hegdesh require a mute? What was the hav meaning to say that since the Torah was matir isur gezel, therefore the Torah was matir isur hegdesh? In the case of nazir, we don't have a hav meaning to say that the Torah is going to be matir a poel to eat, if he's a nazir, to eat from gefen. So why would there be a hav meaning? We need the pasuk reyacha, because otherwise I would think that the poel is allowed to eat from hegdesh. What happened to the isur hegdesh? Me'ila behegdesh. V'chein ayin l'kamon daf tzadi demuvur sham besugi the pole sheno ochel b'maaser sheni chutz l'choma. My maaser sheni is enjoyed from eating outside of Yerushalayim. Ukfar hikshu b'toyse sham amaylo yeh nitar toses akasha. Let's be matir the iser maaser sheni kimo hegdesh. I'm sorry. Amaylo yeh nita kmo hegdesh ilav kro derecha. Now, the Gemara doesn't quote any pasuk to exclude the poel from eating maaser sheni. In the case of hegdesh, we had a hava mina that the poel would be allowed to eat from hegdesh, if not for the pasuk reacha. Now, if that be the case, maybe we should have a hava mina that he can eat from maaser sheni. The Gemara doesn't quote any pasuk to prove that he's not allowed to eat from maaser sheni. So again, let's just set up the scorecard here. With regard to two cases that we know of, Nazir in Gefanim and Maaser Sheni Chutz L'Choma, we know that a poel is not allowed to violate those Isurim, and there was never a Havmina otherwise. The Gemara doesn't need any Pasuk. And Tos says in both cases we should have to have a Pasuk. Why? Because Tos equates it to the case of a Hegdesh. And in the case of a Hegdesh where there's an Isur Me'ila, the Gemara needs a special Pasuk to prove Re'ach of a low Hegdesh that the poel is not allowed to eat from Hegdesh.
You know
where we're going with this already, or what?
Well, I'm not sure.
I thought you would guess it already. Because we're at the turning point, yeah.
I had a problem with Geffen.
Yeah.
Because that was an Issa Gavra. But now Master Shady has brought it back to an Issa Hefta, like Hektish. So he's obviously not getting there.
Right, because again, he's saying that in Maaser Sheni there was never a Havamina that we need a pasuk to teach you that the poel is not allowed, he's enjoined from eating Maaser Sheni. That was a Milsa de Peshitta. And in Hegdesh, yet there was a Havamina that he's allowed to violate the Yisra Hegdesh.
Yeah. The Yisra Gefil, it was regular. The Gefil is a different type of
I don't know if Reb Chaim is just trying to point out that Tosfos has this carte blanche understanding that any Yisra in the world could be lifted for the sake of the poet. You know, if he'd have to be boiling erva in order to eat for the fruit, let him do that. You need a posse. Reb Chaim says that's not so.
He said it's very different, obviously.
Right. But the reason why we're studying this, Reb Chaim, is because Reb Chaim is going to give us an insight into what Me'il is all about, Me'il and Hegdesh. He says, Al kein nira lomer, the bemes lo shaykh le melech chlal shari sur migezel. So he's going back to the first question. The Tosus has a havamina that if the Torah is matir the iser gezel, so now we can be matir the iser of nazir or the iser maaser sheni. Says that was never a havamina. Milvadi says, I don't even have to mention a principle that appears all over Shas, the isura mimamona lo yalfimon. Okay, we're not going to get into that now, but we generally have a mechitza, a separation between Iser and Mamon. In many places in Shas and verses, we can't derive conclusions one from the other. But he says it's much more fundamental than that. He says, Be'emes, he says, Dibepoel, it's lo hutar Iser gezel. In the case of a poel, it's not the way Tosu sees it, that there's an Iser gezel, and the Torah is mata you this Iser gezel. It's like an essay dochalosase, where you have many cases where, for the greater good, we're going to violate an avera. Let's say, instead of not going into the mikdash in tumah for the sake of the korban pesach, we'll allow you to go in for tumah. That's not what's going on here. We're not being matir the Iser gezel, that therefore Tosus thinks carte blanche. We're going to be matir all Isuri Torah, maaser sheni, and nazir for the sake of poel. Ella, but rather what it is. Poel lo hutar be iser gezel ki im dal yedei zeti itira lepoel lechel bekomas chavero memela ein kan gezel klal. So Torah gave him monetary rights to this food. He's not stealing it. Stealing means when I take something of yours and I have no rights for it, but here I have rights to the food, and therefore it's not gezel. Masha ein ke benazir by susheni chutz lechoma v'shari suri Torah any other isur. The fact that the poel has monetary rights towards his fruit and its value, that doesn't mean that he's allowed to eat chazetreif. That he can eat, that a nozer can eat grapes, or a yid can eat maaser sheni chutz lechoma. There's no such havamina that we're going to be matir isur for the sake of a poel. In the case of gezel, because the nature of the isur is that he has rights and I'm trampling, I'm stealing his rights, then there was a strong havamina to say that, not a havamina, take that back. I'm a step ahead of myself as far as hegdish is concerned. But I'm saying the halacha is that the pole is allowed to eat because the pole has contractual monetary rights to eat. We're not lifting or violating the Iser Gezel. The Iser Gezel only applies when I have no rights. Correct? He says, lo tzarech krolim ute klal, in the case of Nazir or Maaser Sheni, I don't need a pasuk to tell you that the pole is excluded. He's excluded because it's Aser. There's no heter on the Iser. Gezel is totally different. Gezel is, I have no rights, and why am I sticking my hand into your pocket? But here, I have the right to stick my hand into your pocket, because it's my pocket. Oh, now you'll ask me, this is the main question for today, is Tosfos says, why do I need a pasuk, l'reacha, l'mutei hegdesh? After all, hegdesh is isur. And now the question really jumps out, because now that we've established that we're not being matir isur gezel for the sake of a poel, but there is no isur gezel. So if that be the case in the case of me'ilah behegdesh, which is a separate isur in the Torah, why do you need the pasuk l'reacha l'mutei hegdesh? Did anybody want to guess the next piece? I mean, it's almost jumping out of us. Again, in one isur in the Torah, we're saying that the Torah didn't have to permit violation of that Iser. What Iser do they have in mind? Gezel. And Torah didn't have to permit the violation of Gezel. If you have monetary rights, there is no Gezel. Can you think of another Iser in the Torah where there's no need to be matter that Iser, but the Iser simply doesn't apply in the case of a poem? What other case do I have in mind? Hegdesh. Why? That what's the nature of the Iser Me'ilah? Dar Shina B'Me'ilah Daf Yud Ches Ki Timol Mal Ein Mal El Shinui. Now the word Shinui sounds very similar to what? If you want to little Bava Kava,
Gineva,
exactly. He says Mavur B'Zeh To Kol Yisod HaIser Me'ilah Mishum Din Gezel Hegdesh. This is the revolution of Reb Chaim. What is the Iser Me'ilah? It is an Iser Gezel Hegdesh. Just like I'm not allowed to steal from you, I can't steal from Hegdish. That's what Me'ilah is all about. And in the case of Shinui, that's called a Maisik Zela. V'chein Mavur. Oh, beautiful. Look at this next line. What's the shear in Kol Yisurei Torah? Let's say I'm not allowed to eat the veil, right? How much is the minimum shear?
Kazayas.
What about Hegdish? There's an Issa Me'ilah. I'm not allowed to eat from Hegdish. What's the minimum shear? It's not a Kazayas. It's a Shava Pruta. The minimum shear to violate the Issa Me'ilah, and you have a Kavan Hashem if you do Peshogeg, is Shava Pruta. It means it doesn't matter what the size of the food is. That is its value on the market. He says, V'chein Muchach Mihad Me'ilah Shiura Bepruta. Interesting. Let's say, for example, he eats I'll use the case of a chatzi zayis. Let's say he eats a chatzi zayis of hegdesh at 9 in the morning, and then at 12 noon he eats another chatzi zayis of me'ilah. Is he chayev or not? Well, if two zaysim are equal to a pruta's worth on the market, he's chayev. That would not apply to any other Isra Achil in the world. Because when and under what conditions can be mitzarif a half a zayis with another half a zayis? No, everybody? Kidei achilas? Pras. Don't all say it once. I can't hear so many voices. So if you ate a half a zayis in the vela at 9 a.m. and you ate the other half a zayis in the vela at 12 p.m., you would not be chayef for such a thing. Because it's li'achar kidei achilas pras. But a me'ilah, you're going to be chayef a korban me'ilah even though it wasn't tov kidei achilas pras. Why? Because the total value is what? Is a pruta. V'chein mucha v'yod me'ilah is your mitzarif to me'ilah is my meruba. V'achilos v'achilos chavera mitzarifin. Okay, that's interesting. I don't know how that works. You have to really know your beans in me'ilah. But if Reuben and Shimon together agree to eat a pruta's worth of hegdesh, then they'll both be chayev b'shutfis because of the total value of a pruta, even though in Machol Sasus that would never be shayach. If let's say the two of us would agree chasrom to eat the veil, you eat half his ice, I'll eat the other half his ice, none of us are chayim. Only a me'ilah with a tzir for a shava pruta, we might be considered some sort of partnership that we're taking the pruta's word together. Asher kol zehu mishum to din gzela bay meaning in me'ilah. What is me'ilah? Me'ilah is gezel. That me'ilah is to hegdesh what gezel is to hedjot. Ulahachi yudim etztarfi b'chol gavnev shiur v'pruta kidin gezel. Hashem lefize yesh lomar. Why do we need kerem reach of alo shal hegdesh? We don't need a pasuk to be matim achol sasuris yayin to a nazir or maser sheni chutzal choma. That for sure is awesome. We don't need a pasuk for that. But poel shenasna lo torah reshus lechol. What does it mean reshus lechol, Rabbi Osai? What kind of a reshus does he have?
A moministic,
it's right, a monetary reshus. It's a contractual agreement. Came into Yeshlov's chusmom and bachilim, came in Mela, ain't come in Yila Klal. It's not said that we're going to be mati. We're not being mati Yisurim for the sake of a poel, with all due respect. We're not going to be mati, you know, the Yisur Nazir, the Yisur Maisur Sheni, for a poel, with all due respect to the poel. What we're going to do is we're going to say there is no Yisur at all. And that we saw by the case of Gezel, that there's no Yisur at all. Why? Because the Torah gave me monetary rights to eat this fruit, so I'm not stealing from you. And if that be the case, he says we should apply the same thing to Hegdesh. In other words, without the special Gzeres HaKosuv that limits the rights of a poel to anything that's chulin but not beyond, meaning not to Hegdesh, if we didn't have that pasuk, we would have assumed that the monetary rights of a poel extend not only to what? To chulin, but also to Hegdesh. Now, if his monetary rights apply to Hegdesh as well, then Mamela, what Isur is completely irrelevant? Me'ilah. Me'ilah is completely irrelevant. Because what is Me'ilah? Says Reb Chaim, Me'ilah is Gezel Hegdesh. What are Reb Chaim's two proofs that Me'ilah is Gezel Hegdesh? Number one, what's the shear for which you chayev? A Shava Pruta. Number two, the Gemara says that Shinui is a violation of Me'ilah. He didn't even take it, but what did he do? He made a Shinui in it, and the Gemara compares it to Gzela. And not only that, two people who, in partnership, in cahoots, will each eat a half of a pruta's worth of Me'ilah with Mitzarif to get in the Chayev, which we don't. And again, in the case of Be'ili Achayv, even if there's no tziruf, if you ate the first half of Zayis in the morning and the other half of Zayis in the afternoon, which is Li'achar Kedei Achilus Pras, Yechayv Be'ili, if only it's worth a Shavah Pruta. Is Be'mele Ein Kad Be'ili Klal, came into Bischuso Ka'achil. In other words, Mamon Hegdesh, which is called Me'ila, belongs to Hegdesh until the Torah says it doesn't belong to Hegdesh, it belongs to someone else. So if the Gizbar hires someone to do work in the field, then the Me'ila, that poel, gets rights to the food in the field. Is Mufka Midin Gezel Hegdesh? Kamoshu Mufka Midin Gezel Hegdesh? There is no Gezel here, and if there's no Gezel Hegdesh, it means there's no Me'ila. Logically, we would have assumed that even in the case of Hegdesh, where the Hegdesh owns, you know, has monetary ownership over the field, we would think that monetary ownership has to be forfeited to some extent, for on behalf of the poel. Just like in the case of a hedgehog, if I own a field, I have to forfeit my rights to the food of the field in favor of the monetary rights that the Torah grants to whom? To the poel. Now we need a pasuk. Re'achol Abutei Hegdesh. Then in the case of Hegdesh, the Torah says, Adkan, you as a Pole have no rights, have no monetary rights to Hegdesh.
Can I just pull this revolutionary idea? My mind's bogging a little bit here. Is the nature of Hegdesh as opposed to other Isurin? For example, we talk about other some way that the Shizuk Zayis. But in Pachman says it's la'asa, usually.
Ah.
Right?
So I would say the same thing might apply.
Chetzi shi. So is chetzi shi asa?
Yeah. I think so. I'll tell you what it is. In Gezel, for example, if you steal less than the Shavah Pruta, you violated the Isur, but on the other hand, there's no din of Hashavah, for example. And the same thing would apply in the Ila. That according to Reb Chaim, Me'ila is fundamentally Gezel, you're stealing from Hegdesh. If you steal less than a Pruta, although I don't know if you violated, you know, the Chi of Karma, because the Chi of Karma depends on a Shavah Pruta, but nevertheless you're stealing even a Shavah Pruta from Hegdesh.
So Chetzish is us as well, and there might be Nibreach, it's still us, there's still a Me'ila.
Well, again, let's say for example, you're asking why I need the Pasuk, because again, if Me'ila equals Gezel, just so if I work in your field, I'm not stealing from you if I eat. And if you are Hegdesh, if you represent Hegdesh, then I'm not stealing from Hegdesh because I'm eating because I have rights to eat. And therefore, there's no. I don't need a matir on the Issur Me'ila. The Issur Me'ila doesn't apply because the Yesoda is what generates the Issur Me'ila is the bilus of Hegdesh. And if you take from Hegdesh, you're stealing from Hegdesh. Here in this case, you're not stealing anything from Hegdesh. You're taking that which is yours.
Isn't the right to what Reb Chaim says? This is a matter of the gzeila, basically, because it says that the minimum shares of pruta. It could have said b'mashu. In fact, it didn't say b'mashu because b'mashu it would then takes it out of the rules of gzeila.
In other words, whenever you hear shava pruta, automatically you think of gezel. The only area in the Torah where the shear is pruta, there may be other dinim in which chashivus depends upon a pruta, like for example kiddusha isha, because otherwise she doesn't have das if it's less than a pruta. But I'm saying in terms of the world of isa v'heter, whenever you hear pruta, you're talking about gezel. Anywhere else outside of gezel, you're talking about a shear. Whether it's in zroim, you have certain shearim in machalos asuris. In general machalos asuris, you have the shear of kizayis. There may be various different shiurim. But if you hear the word pruta, wake up, my friend, because that's gezel. And the fact that me'ila is the shear is a pruta puts me'ila into the category of what? Of gzela. Not gzela from a hejid in this case, but gzela from hegdesh. I always say that, you know, the biggest I don't know what the word cartel is, probably not the word I'm looking for. But the biggest monetary enterprise on the whole universe, you know, some say it's a certain place in Rome, I don't want to go into detail. They have more money than anyone else has. They produce their own money, they produce their own stamps, right, in the Vatican. But if you ask me in a halakhic world, what is the greatest enterprise that exists in terms of an ownership? It's Hegdesh. Hegdesh owns all of Hegdesh. And if you steal from Hekdesh, that's called Me'ilah. Now let's get to the punchline. Again, can you give me another minute, Daniel? I'm so excited to get to the punchline here. He says, HaKol Zeh Shaych Rak BeHekdesh De'isura Domel Dimaman She'ish Lomar De'gabei The al yidei schus poel yem mufka isur debay, meaning isur milu. Mashen kim in nazir my susheni the shari suri Torah any surim toli bedim schias mamon bachilosu. It's just because I have rights to eat this because my monetary rights means I'm allowed to eat something that's awesome. In gain vade the poel the shari noshim shavim. What difference to make if you're a poel or somebody else? Hare kol isuro lo lo hutar, and therefore we don't need a pasuk l'meute. He says, now let's supply this to Shor. Vitosis wants to say, why do I need a pasuk to exclude a poel from Hebesh? Why don't I derive from Disho? He says, Kol zelo shekel ben poel davi din mama. Sheyesh lo rishus lecho. Valkein lo havi gezel. Right, and I have minute before the pasuk reyecho. It's not gezel. I'm not embezzling from Hebesh because the Torah gave me monetary rights. The law of Din Mamon, let's just review, that Reb Chaim proves that the din of prohibiting muzzling the cow has nothing to do with Din Mamon. It applies even to my own cow. I'm not stealing from anybody. For Akisura Ika, there's a separate Isa on the Baal Bayis who's working with his cow of Lo Safsam Shor B'disho. It doesn't apply to a guy. Im Kain, Holeka Midi the Lishre Isura De Hekdesh. So in other words, okay, the Torah says that a shor is not allowed to eat from Hekdesh, which means I'm allowed to muzzle my shor who's working in a Sodeh Shel Hekdesh. Now Tosfos says, so why do I need a pasuk to teach me that a poel is not allowed to eat from Hekdesh? Why not derive it from shor? Lefiza nicha, the hadetzrif in krav, lereyacha. I don't know, you have, okay, it's just a few more lines, so hadavim in krav, the reyacha lemutei hegdesh v'loyal finan zos mikra the disho in the parasha lo saksam. The answer is because in the parasha lo saksam you talk about when the iser applies, when it doesn't iser apply. But in the case, so let's say the iser was lifted in the case of a stay hegdesh that now I could be hosting the para. That doesn't prove beans about the case of a poel, because a poel has monetary rights to eat from the field, and therefore we would have assumed that there's no iser of me'ila. And if I need a special pasuk to tell me that there's an Isur Me'ila because the poel doesn't get rights to Hegdesh. Dehine b'divrei Rama mevuar da'adam atinan Hegdesh mikra de disho haine mishum de be'inan disho haroilo ve'hegdesh lo avi roilo ve'osel achilo dvar Hegdesh im kein ha'shayach lo shayach zos ela l'shar. So I can't feed a shar Hegdesh. De'leka midi l'mishrei Isura. And the Isur of feeding Hegdesh to a shor applies anytime you're working with a shor, no matter what, in any situation whatsoever. There's no reason to be matir it. I mean, at this point, I would ask Reb Chaim the following question: so why do I need a pasuk of disho? That's how I would. Masha'enki, what?
Before.
Oh, I don't know about a bechor, but Masha'enki bepoel. Wait, before you ask me about a bechor, let me just. Okay, Masha'enki mepoel da'avi did mamon in kain hanafki isur mehegdish. There's no isur at all in hegdish. In kain shapim mikri roilo. Right? Why is it ain't a roilo to an animal? Because an animal has no rights to hegdish, and you don't feed hegdish to an animal. But in the case of a poel who has monetary rights, that removes the gzeil of hegdish. Is lo nuchal emelech klal poel mishar v'shaper itzrich lemutei lereacha. Okay, now, Reb Chaim, yeah, okay, let me take just a breath. We're almost at the end. Go, Daniel, you wanted to say something before.
There's something confused in my mind. But,
yeah, okay.
I understand the sort
of. This is one of the smoothest Reb Chaims. I'm telling you, I've tried to plow through Reb Chaims, and it's like Lo Saksam Shobadisha. I can't do the plowing. But this one is like glack. I mean, it's really smooth. David?
Could we say that if the poel needs the shor to do his work, that the shor is like a shliach of the poel? So if that's the case, that the poel has rights to the hegdesh, why wouldn't the shor?
Oh, you're saying, let's say I hire someone to work with a plow, you say?
Yeah, with a shor, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know in that case that he, the poel, has any rights whatsoever, monetary rights.
Really?
It's only when he's literally plucking the produce with his hands.
Oh, I see.
That's the parasha of Poel. You know, if he's working an animal, then you can activate the parasha Lo Sachsam Shor B'Disho, but you wouldn't be able to activate the parasha of Poel.
I have a two-pronged question. If a poet is working with tevel,
yeah,
would be able to consume any of that tevel?
Well, no, because tevel is not a monetary iser. There are monetary elements. It could be that if I eat tevel, I might be stealing from Shevet Kahuna, maybe. But the Gemara says that's called Moment Shein Lo Tovim in any of them, because we don't know of any Kohen in particular has rights to that moment. I mean, then you have to know the Sugya Makiri Kuna, but that's not, you know, let's not get too far.
What I'm trying to get at, yeah, the Is of Hegdish,
yeah,
it's untouchable to Zara, sounds to me it's a different type of Issa to all of the Isurim. The way
correct. It's an Issa Gezel.
Yeah, yeah. Because Tevel is it's Issa. Like Geffen to a Nozir, but Tevel to Zahim,
right,
to kindly separate the Truma.
Right. Right. Now you were asking somebody else before.
Not,
you know, it could be that the Yayin to a Nozir is only an Issa Gavra.
That's
an important point. But be that as it may, the nature of the Issa Gavra of Yayin L'Nozir is not Mon. You know, it's not that, in other words, if let's say I'm a Nozir and I'm eating from my own grapes, I'm not stealing anyone's grapes, the same Issa applies no matter who owns the grapes. There's only one Issa which depends on Mammon, and that's Gezel, meaning I can't eat this because it belongs to you. In the case of a poel, I'm allowed to eat it. Not because the Torah gave a special allowance on the violation of Issa Gezel. You know, he's, oh, man, I'm about to violate Issa Gezel, it's terrible, but the Torah allowed me to do it. That's not what's going on. There is no Issa Gezel here, because the Torah gave me monetary rights. That was Reb Chaim's Yisod, that the poel, in the case of a human employee, it has a contractual right to those fruit. Now, since Reb Chaim, let's apply that to Hegdish. And justify why we need a special pasuk of Reicha, because if not for that special pasuk of Reicha, those monetary rights that he has if he's working from a hedgehog would also apply to Hegdish. And the Mela, there's no Issa Hegdish here. There's no Issa Gzela. And there's no Issa Gzela, let him fresh away, so to speak, pardon the phrase, right? Elo what? The Torah was Machadish Gavaldig Chidish, which we could not learn from any place else. And that is Reicha Velo Shel Hegdish. The Torah says, you know what? Hegdesh is not obligated in this contractual agreement. The contractual agreement will exist in the context of a hedgehog, but not in the context of Hegdesh. Memela, if you have no monetary rights to take from Hegdesh because of Reicha, you're going to violate the Isamila. There's no question that the Pole will violate the Isamila. But now you'll ask me, Tosis Kasha, but wait a second, we already have a Pasuk of Disho that tells me that I'm enjoined from allowing the Shar to eat from Hegdesh. And I, on the contrary, I got to muzzle the Shar so he doesn't eat from Hegdesh. That doesn't prove a thing about Poel, because the essence of the Issa Shar is the mitzvah of allowing the Shar to eat. And the Torah says, okay, in the case of Hegdish, you can't allow the Shar to eat. Shar and Hegdish is not a good, it's not a good combination. But that has nothing to do with Me'ila. And therefore, in the case of a Poel, we would have thought that he's allowed, based on his monetary rights, to eat from Hegdish. There's no violation of Me'ila. Ulehepuch gamkein lo kasha. Now let's turn around the question the other way. Lichtov rachmanu reacha. Why couldn't the Torah say reacha v'lo libay disho? V'nelif shar mi poel. Right? He's asking the other way around. If the Torah says that even in the case of poel, where he normally has monetary rights, the Torah excluded him from hegdesh, and that's derived from the pasuk reacha, how much more so in the case of the animal? He says lufi mashin nisbayer nire. To call hachmiuta the reacha the mantin and hegdish lo bolim ute hegdish me etzem din achilus poel kim da miutu lafkas chuse. The whole point of reacha is to say that in the case of hegdish, the Torah did not grant the poel any schus mamon. To be hegdish ain lo la, if he's working on hegdish ain lo la pol schus mamon. And that is no application to the shar. You know, the shar, you have a choice. You either feed the shar so the shar doesn't starve, and in that case, you're going to have to feed him hegdish. Or you're going to have to say, well, we have to, you know, the Torah has to be very careful about hegdish. Let the shar starve. I don't mean that literally starve, but you know what I mean. He says, v'hoyin nireh. V'hochi nireh, he says, v'hoyin dinoi din achilus pol gabi b'shel nochri. Right, so what's going on over here? You have Peter and Christopher, and we're saying that Peter has to allow Christopher to eat from the field that he's working in. right? And why is that? Because we're talking about dini mamonos, and dini mamonos apply through gezel even in the case of a goy. The im nema damir derecha be ikar adin achila she'ein din zed noeg el berecha. In case, oh wow, beautiful kashi he's asking. All over Shas, when we see the word reecha, we always use it lemute nachri. And here, we're not using the word reecha lemute nachri. On the contrary, we're saying that the parasha of kelyecha and so forth that gives rights to the pole applies even to a nachri. What happened to the word reecha? Oh, no. You're using reecha lemute heglish. Why not use reecha lemute nachri? Maishna nachri mi heglish. He's never included in the category of Reacha. Remind me to mention to you, I found once a Rabbeinu Bechai on Chumash that contradicts this. But anyway, Elavadai, Techol Amiyu de Reacha, Hu Rak Al Hafkos Haschutz. That what? That in this case of Hegdesh, we're going to exclude the Schutz, we're going to nullify or freeze the Schutz of the Poel. In the case of Nachri, there's no reason why we should freeze the Schus Poel. And therefore, the Pashuk Reich is not coming to exclude Nachri, because Nachri has all the monetary rights that are guaranteed to Yisrael by virtue of Gezel and Dinim. That's because we're being mafkir the Schus vis-a-vis Hegdesh. The Ode, the Nachri Ika Kalvachomerim, Huta Le Poel. Lechol b'Yisrael is b'nachri lo kolshkein. If the Torah allows a poel Yisrael to eat from another Yisrael, that means that's really being matir, a heavy, heavy duty Yisrael gezel, then how much more so in the case of a nachri, the Torah is going to allow the nachri to eat from another nachri, which is less of an Yisrael gezel. Okay, he goes on and on. I mean, it's just beautiful. But that's all that we need for us. Now, I photocopied something else for you. Don did the work for me. Yishkoch to Don. Do you have this page? Now, I have to tell you, I have this sefer in my possession for a long, long time, but I never opened it. And the reason I never opened it is because I was told that this sefer is very, very difficult to learn. So this is going to be my debut to see if I can overcome. You know, they always say when you want to jump into the cold water, instead of putting your toes in first, because then you're going to run away, it's so freezing, you just jump in, and then you yell, ow, and then ouch, and then 2-3 minutes later, wow, this is geschmack, you know. So I'm hoping that that's going to happen here, but there are no guarantees. But I took a look at Hilchos Me'ilah, and I was wondering if maybe we could find something in this sefer, which is from my father's Rebbe, and my Rebbe's father, in the Chidush HaGram HaLevi on Me'ilah, that maybe something on Me'ilah now would possibly connect with the Rav Chaim and Me'ilah. So again, no guarantees over here, but we'll give it a shot.
What's the name of the sefer?
It's called Chidush HaGram HaLevi, which means Rav Moshe HaLevi. Rav Moshe means Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Okay then? So I never knew him because he died, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 1935 or 1940. You know, he died a pretty young man. He was 61 when he died, and he married off my parents. And my father used to say about Rav Moshe that he, in one sense, he was the opposite of his son. The Rav could go on for hours. So if you ever think that I'm roughing you up because I give you a shiur for an hour and a half, that's bufkis compared to the Rav. The Rav could go on. I remember shiur, I'll never forget it. It was on Thanksgiving Day. So Daniel, Thanksgiving is not going to mean much to you, but in America, Thanksgiving is like a whole to-do. And we eat turkey and this and that. It's all chaparai. So the Rav was giving shiur. I'll never forget it. It was the sugyan ches sabatim, so the zoo, so the stam. And after 4.5 hours, most of which the Rav is in total confusion about the sugya, finally, after 4.5 hours, he said to us, oh, okay, go home and eat your turkey. So if I rough you up on an hour and a half, it's nothing compared. My father told me about Rav Moshe, the longest shiur he remembers went 40 minutes. The average shiur was about 30 to 35 minutes. And my father, Nachtzi, says that he remembers on at least two occasions that Rav Moshe came in, he asked the Kasha, and Chaim Zimmerman, I don't know if you heard of him, answered the Kasha, and Rav Moshe said, "I was gerecht." He's right, closed the Gemara and walked right out. That was the end of the sheet. I guess they didn't pay him by the hour in those days, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, right here, you should see a page on the top left that says Kuf Chaf Hei, and you'll see a paragraph that starts with Kiddushin Daf Nun Zayin. Okay. Now, I just want to make one point before we start this, because I see the clock is not my best friend today. In the previous piece...
3.5 hours.
Right, right. We still have 3.5 hours. Do you... What did we photocopy? Just Kuf Chaf Hei and then on?
And
so you don't have Kuf Chaf Dalet, right?
No.
Okay. So in Kuf Chaf Dalet, he starts with a Rambam in Perek Beis Mehilchus Me'ilah. And I'll just quickly read to you the first paragraph of his piece, because I think that piece sort of sets the background for this piece. The Rambam says the following: Kol Dmei Shechitas HaKodshim Ein Moalim Bo Bein Lifnei Kapora Bein Liachar Kapora Ad Sheyetze Lenachal Kidron Yotza Lenachal Kidron Moalim Bo Mipnei Shehoya Nimkar Leginos Udomav Hegdish. So let again, I just want to feed to you what Rav Moshe is going to say over here. That Basar Kodesh is a whole different din as far as Me'ilah is concerned. Why? Because it has what's called Kedushas HaGuf. That's true until it goes to a Nachal Kidron. And Nachal Kidron is the point of transition from Kedushas HaGuf to Kedushas Domin. And from that moment and on, there's an Isur Me'ilah. And the Rambam sort of demonstrates this, or what word do I want to use? He brings this point home by saying that anything that reached the Nachal Kidron is Nimkar Leginos. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have Dam, right? So if the Dam... Well, it was Nishpach. Well, there are many different cases, but let's say the Dam fell onto the ground before he was Makabal in a Kli Shor. So the Dam goes out to Nachal Kidron. Now, up until the point that it goes out to Nachal Kidron, the Rambam is saying, it has Kedush Saguf. But once it goes to Nachal Kidron, then the Dam would be sold as fertilizer. Okay? I think we discussed this once in Bava Kama, did we not? Not in Bava Kama, in Shabbos, in Masechta Shabbos, that a person who takes dam out in order to use the dam as fertilizer, he'd be chayev for meleches chovel, because it's a tikkun and not a kilkul. I don't know if anybody remembers that. So the Rambam says that now this dam has the status of dam of hegdish, which means it lends itself to me'ilah. That's the Rambam's language. The Ravid says no. Osa me'ilah eino el midrabanan. And Rav Moshe points out that according to the Rambam, and the Rambam is right in learning the Rambam holds that after it goes out to Nachal Kidron, this Me'ila Doraisa, says Rav Moshe, Midin Kedushas Domim, which means that the way we use the Dam is going to determine whether it has Kedushas Domim or not. Does everybody know what Kedushas Domim is? Kedushas Domim means something that's Hegdesh, because of its monetary value. For example, the whole discussion that we had today was all about Kedushas Domim. Because what were we speaking about? We weren't talking about a behemoth. He wasn't riding a behemoth's hegdish. He was doing what? He was eating from the field. A field of hegdish, stay hegdish, is called Kedushas Domim. Meaning it doesn't really have any inherent Kedusha. Its Kedusha is in the fact that it represents... In an abstract sense, it represents monetary value. And Me'ilah means you're stealing from Hegdesh. Rav Chaim says, Rav Moshe says in the Rambam, that once the dam is designated to be sold on the market for ginos, for fertilizer, then it means that the Gizbar, I don't mean the Gizbar, I mean Hegdish, but the Gizbar representing Hegdish now has declared, so to speak, proclaimed his ownership over the Dam. And since it was Kedushas Haguf, it originally had a Kedusha for the Mizbeach, now that Kedusha is gone, and it goes out to Nachal Kidron. At that point, the Dam now becomes something which we have to decide whether we want to use it or not use it. And if we decide that we want to sell it on the open market as fertilizer, then that sale will become a pigeon, which always applies in the case of Kedushas Damim. And this is all called Lev Bezdin Masna Lev. Does anybody remember that phrase? Lev Bezdin Masna Lev means that the Bezdin can decide what they're going to do with the Hegdish. And in this case, they decided they're going to take this Dam and they're going to sell it on the open market. That means it has Kedushas Damim. And therefore, he says, Molim, this is on the top of your page here, Midoraisa, you see the word Midoraisa, Midin Kedushas Damim. Why? Kshenem Karim Leginos, when it's sold for fertilizer, Pakamihem Akedushas Damim Alidei Pigeon. Now, in other words, how's the buyer who needs this Dam and he pays good money for it, how is he allowed to use it for fertilizer? After all, what happened to the Isan Me'ilah? The answer is that this is a pigeon. Pigeon means that whenever you sell, whenever the Gizbar will sell Kedushas Damim, like for example, let's say I take this table, assuming it was my table, and I say, Harei Zeh Hegdesh. What kind of Kedusha does it have? Kedushas Damim. Right? There's no Kedusha Guf, you can't bring this table on the Mizbeah. Again, there's Atzei Maroch, but that's a different story. So now Bezdin will have the right, and the Gizbar will be the agent of Bezdin, to sell this table on the open market. Now, if I were to sit on the table, or you would sit on the table, before Bezdin sold it, that would be a violation of an Issa Me'ilah by virtue of the Kedushas Damim. Once Bezdin sells it, that's called a pigeon, and now the Kedushas Damim transfers over to the money, and this table, which had Kedushas Damim, is Yotzei Lechulin. And he points out that this is not just the Rambam Shita, but it's also Tosfos Shita and Masechta Yuma. El Nitzarech Iyun, he says, I don't understand. Im din lev bezdin masna hu diehei kedushas kedoshim v'kedushas damim. Oh, so now Rav Moshe says there are two types of kedushas damim. There's kedushas damim that's related to the Mizbeach, and then there's kedushas damim that has nothing to do with the Mizbeach. And he says the following: Tzarchim indin lev bezne masnehu diyehei kedoshim kedushas damim shel mizbeach. In other words, by the fact that the bezdin decided they want to hold on to this damim and they're lucrative financially, they could sell it, that means there's some sort of continuation of the original kedusha. Because again, it's not some sort of new maisa hegdish here. It has to be, how do you say in English, shirayim, a residue, right? A residue of the original kedusha. What was the original kedusha on this dam? Kedushas damim. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
did you say Kedushas Dom or I said Kedushas Dom?
Well, how original are you talking about?
No, I'm saying before this whole process where the Dom is shoved out to the Nachal Kidron, it was Kedushas Mizbeach. That's what I meant to say, right?
Yeah, I didn't know.
So Rav Moshe wants to think that if Lev Des Masna Lehem, it has to be a continuation of Kedushas Mizbeach. Again, it's only Kedushas Dom in Mizbeach. To Achal Lehem Kedushas Dom Shal Mizbeach. After Kedoshim and Kedushas HaGuf Shel Mizbeach, so this is a residue of the Kedushas Guf, where the Dam was meant to be Nizrak Al Gabi Mizbeach. He says that Rabbam Sovid that did Nases Mitzvason, that once we fulfill the mitzvah of Dam, so right, the Dam was received in the Kli Sharis, he used whatever Dam he needed, now he's got residue Dam, who did Nases Mitzvason. Then whatever mitzvah I had to do with this Dam, I already fulfilled the mitzvah. So, is the Rambam holds Pokemine a Hegdesh v'avi chulim, and now the original Hegdesh is gone. Al kein shafi yochol locholem kedushas damim. That's why Bezdin through Lev Bezdin Master can now sanctify the damim because of its monetary value and give it the status of kedushas damim. So although we didn't get yet to the emotion that I want to see as a challenge for us, that's this Kedusha Nachman Zayin, but I think to a large extent this piece in Rav Moshe is very much a continuation of what we discussed earlier in Rav Chaim, that the nature of Me'ilah is when you have Kedushas Damim, it means that Hekdesh owns something, and if you take it without pidyon, then you're stealing from Hekdesh. And now Rabbi Moshe wants to suggest that the dam that's going out to Nachal Kidron, insofar as it has monetary value, and Beis Din decided they're going to sell it, that gives it a status of Kedusha's Domim, and therefore if he doesn't sell it, then it's got Me'ilah. Okay then, so we'll stop here. I'd like to continue with it. I can't know what's going to happen between now and next week, you know, but if things go well, I'm going to try to give it a little bit more time.
We have Wednesday now. Wednesday,
this we do on Sunday and Monday.
Oh, Sunday. Oh, that's right. Sunday,
yeah. Sunday at 12 and Monday at 2. That's the two times that we get together.
We go back to the Chaim. The Hekdesh we were talking about there, the field is Hekdesh.
Right.
Is that effective there for also Kedushas Domim?
Sure.
Hekdesh? So that makes it easier. I was trying to ask you that. I'm trying to work in my head. What type of is it? It's not like Tevel. Tevel is a Torah.
Tevel is also Machmas Atzmah. Here, this Issa is only because it represents the money of Hekdesh.
I mean, one of the reasons you can be part of the Hekdesh.
Correct. Otherwise, you know, how are you poda? Let's say, the field belongs to Hekdesh and they want to be poda. Certainly, it can be poded. Why? Because its kedusha is in the Dhamim. And now I just have to transfer it over to Dhamim. Yeah. And then available, the kedusha is poked. Alright? Kedusha Aguf has no pigeon. You know?
Shkaya.
Shkaya.